Good morning. I'm Zheng Pan, a postdoc at Parameter. Today, I will introduce a new memory formation channel, and we call memories from this new channel as wet memories. Okay, let's start from the old channel, the well-known Loscon channel, and we call memories from the old channel as dry memories. Here is a cartoon picture of the Loscon channel. You see a massive black hole surrounded by a cluster of stars and a stellar massive black holes. Now we consider the orbital motion of a stellar massive black hole. As it's moving forward, it might be scattered by stars and the stellar massive black holes. And it also loses some orbital energy as emitting the gravitational wave. So there will be two important time scales in this picture. One is a gravitational emission time scale, and the other is a two-body scattering time scale. We call it relaxation time scale. So if the gravitational wave time scale is longer, then the orbital motion of the stellar massive black hole will be dominated by the scatterings. And then it might be scattered directly into the massive black hole or scattered away. In that case, there will be no memory formation. On the other hand, if the gravitational wave emission is more efficient, then the orbital size will stably decrease, and finally, there will be an memory formation. Okay, actually, the formation rate in this channel is very sensitive to the radius, where the two time scales are roughly equal to each other. As shown by a recent work, if we made a mistake in the gravitational wave emission time scale by a factor of two, the formation rate will be changed by a factor of 10. So that's why it's very sensitive. That's a basic picture of the old channel. Now let's look at the new channel, the aging disk channel. Okay, the basic setup is very similar. A massive black hole and a cluster of stars and a stellar massive black hole around it. The difference is the massive black hole is accreting. So there will be an accretion disk. Now we consider the stellar massive black hole and the interaction between the stellar massive black hole and the accretion disk. Due to the periodical orbital motion of the stellar massive black hole, there will be density waves excited on the accretion disk. So there will be two major effects of the density waves to the stellar massive black hole. One is it will damp the orbital inclination. It will drive the inward migration of the stellar massive black hole. So in this picture, there will be four important time scales: the relaxation time scales, and the time scale for the orbital inclination damping and its orbital eccentricity damping. Also, the migration inward time scale. It's a result of the density waves and the head wind. The head wind is a result of the velocity difference between the stellar massive black hole and the gas around it. Finally, the aging disk lifetime, simply because only for the migration time scale shorter than the disk lifetime, then the stellar massive black hole can have enough time to migrate to the vicinity of the massive black hole and finally become an memory. So another thing I want to emphasize is probably you have heard of the so-called migration track, because in many previous studies, they claim there should be some migration track in the disk. When the stellar massive black hole enters the track, it will be stopped there and become merged with other stellar massive black hole and it has been proposed as a AGN disk channel for the LIGO merger events. But I want to say that the migration trap actually doesn't exist. The reason is, in previous studies, the migration trap claim is based on a very old AGN disk model by Thompson et al. About 20 years ago. Unfortunately, in that aggregation disk model, they made a small mistake in the radiation pressure. So after correcting for that small mistake, then we find the disk become very smooth. There is no migration trap at all. Okay, so that's two pictures for the two different channels, the Loscon channel and the AGN disk channel. Okay, now let's do some calculation for the memory formation rate in the two channels. Let's first look at the older channel, dry memory rate. So the stars and stellar massive black holes in the cluster can be described by their formation, their distribution function, a function of time, orbital energy, and R. R is a normalized angular momentum. So the Fokker-Planck equation is well known as an integral differential equation with all the diffusion coefficients and the advection coefficients in the E and R two dimension, the E and R phase space are the function of the integral of the distribution functions themselves. So given some initial condition, we can evolve the system using the Fokker-Planck equation. So we assume a tremendous cluster model as an initial condition. For simplicity, we assume all the stars are of one solar mass, all the stellar mass black holes are of 10 solar mass. We assume initially the number of the stellar mass black holes is about 1,000 times lower than the number of the stars. Okay. So for our fiducial model, we consider the massive black hole is about 4 million solar mass, similar to the galactic massive black hole. We evolve this the system from T0 to 5 giga years. The left two panels are the two-dimensional distribution of the stars and the stellar massive black holes. So the red panel shows a one-dimensional distribution. So it's the distribution function of the two-dimensional one with the angular momentum direction integrated out. So the two dashed lines are the initial distribution. Initially, they are different by a factor of 1,000. After a 5 giga year evolution, we see the difference becomes much smaller. That means the stellar mass black holes are preferentially accumulated around the massive black hole. So that's called the mass segregation. Okay, with all the distribution functions as a function of time, we can calculate the memory rate. The x-axis is time from 0 to 5 giga years. The orange line is the memory formation rate. So initially, it starts from very low number, and after a few giga years, it becomes stable. The memory rate is about 200 memories per giga year. Okay, if we evolve the system to a longer time, we will find that the memory rate will decrease, simply because stellar mass black holes in the cluster are consumed. Okay, we also did the different calculations for different massive black hole mass. We find that the memory rate roughly can be fitted as a power law of the massive black hole mass. So, but the dependence is very mild, and the typical number is about 200 memories per giga year. Okay, that's the older channel. Now let's go to the new new channel calculation in the wet emery rate. As I mentioned earlier, due to the presence of the accretion disk, there will be interactions between the stellar mass black holes and the accretion disk. We needed to modify the focal point equation. Also, due to the presence of the accretion disk, both the distribution functions of the stars and the stellar mass black holes gains dependence on the inclination angle. So it's no more spherically symmetric. So we choose to, for simplicity, we choose to integrate the inclination angle out and focus on their dependence on the energy and the angular momentum. So we needed to modify the focal point equation a little bit by incorporating the disk and the stellar mass black hole interactions. So there are basically three different modifications or negative source term due to the capture onto the disk. And the modification to the advection in the energy direction due to the inward migration driven by the disk. Also, there is a correction to the angular momentum direction due to the orbital eccentricity damping. Okay. So consider that the massive black hole might be inactive for a long time, then become AGN. So we take the final state of the previous calculation as the initial state of the new calculation. And in this plot, I show the evolution result after 10 million years. Again, the first two channels are the two-dimensional distributions of the stars and the stellar mass black holes. You will see the distribution of the stellar mass black holes are quite different from the previous calculation, simply due to their interactions with the disks. Also, with the distribution functions as a function of time, we can calculate the emery formation rate in the new disk channel. We simply integrate the negative source function over the phase space where the migration time scale is shorter than the disk lifetime. Again, the disk lifetime is very uncertain. So we choose three different representative numbers, 1 million year, 10 million year, and 100 million year. And in this plot, I plot the emery formation rate in the new channel as a function of time. The three different colors corresponding to three different disk lifetime. So you will see the typical number is 10 to the 4 to 10 to the 5th emeries per giga year. It's much larger than the emery rate in the older channel. Okay, also we did different calculations for different massive black hole mass, and we summarize the result here. For a galactic massive black hole like massive black hole, the wet emery rate is usually higher than the dry emery rate by a factor 100 to 1000. For a very low mass massive black hole, the rate of the wet emery is usually higher than the dry emery rate by a factor of 10 to 100. But not every massive black hole is accreting. For the local universe, the accreting massive black hole fraction is about 1%. So for slightly higher redshift, the fraction can be from 1% to 10%. If we put the fraction and their relative importance of the two channels together, we can reach an important conclusion. the new channel, aging disk channel, should contribute an important or even dominant fraction of detectable memories. Okay. Finally, let's discuss a little bit what additional astrophysics we can learn from the wet memories. As we know, for the dry memories, we expect to extract many fundamental physics and astrophysics. In addition to that, we can learn something different from wet memories. Let's first point out that the two different memories, wet memories and dry memories, can be distinguishable by their source properties, mainly by different eccentricities, because for dry memories, their orbital eccentricity is usually very high, but for the wet memories, their orbital eccentricity is basically zero due to the interaction between the stellar massive black hole and the accretion disk. Also, probably they have different distributions for the orbital inclinations. Okay, so after we identify wet memories, we expect to have a good measurement of the memory source properties, including the massive black hole mass and the massive black hole spin, both its direction and magnitude, and also some environmental effects from the wet memory will form.
Then, if you want to wrap up, maybe we can take questions, or are you almost done?
Okay, yeah, I will leave the discussion here.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for your talk. If people want to raise hands, we will take questions. I see one from Davide. Go ahead.
Thanks for the talk. So just a comment both a question and a comment when you were saying that migration traps are not really there in your, when you fix the Thomson model. Now, this is just one model of accretion disk, and it seems that migration traps are actually generic and appear in different models on all scales. Like, I mean, the protoplanetary disk people that do planets, they have this, they kind of find the same in certain regime. I don't know what's your take here. I think it's a bit too strong to say that they don't exist.
Okay, so for the aging disk models, there are three popular models. One is the Thomson models. There are also two SK models, SK alpha and SK beta models. We did the analysis for all the three different models. We find that there shouldn't be existence of migration trap, but I don't know if there is other aging disk model.
Okay, thanks.
Maybe I will also ask a question. So I know that in AGNs, you can also have turbulence, and this is usually hard to take into account when modeling migration, and you can have migration in with different signs of the you know, torque. What do you think about it?
Okay, that's a good point. So in this work, we assume we don't consider turbulence migration torque. We consider the regular type 1 and type 2. So it's interesting to consider what if the migration torque, the turbulence migration torque turn on, then what's the consequences of that? Yeah.
Okay, we have one more question from Jonathan. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to make sure I understood one key thing you said on your last slide. you said that among other things, dry versus wet MREs will have different inclination distributions. Just to be clear, this is the inclination with respect to the supermassive black hole's own spin axis.
Yes, correct. Right? Yes.
Okay, but this is not the inclination on the sky, which is, of course, still random.
Oh, that's right. So it's an inclination with respect to the spin axis. And in the dry MREs, we expect it to be isotropic. But for wet MREs, due to the disk existence, we expect the orbital angular momentum of the secondary might be aligned with the spin axis.
I see. But and one other related point, if the secondary is a spinning black hole, do I understand correctly that we do not expect that to be torqued into alignment? That could still be misaligned during the
that's a good point, because we haven't have a good understanding of the evolution of the secondary in the accretion disk. Because if the accretion rate is high, then the secondary spin might be extremal and aligned. But we are not sure about the accretion rate of secondary.
Right. Okay, thank you.